You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports and Network. And we've got a lot of stuff to break down on the program this afternoon. The countdown to kickoff is on a monster tilt in the NFC East. The Washington Redskins getting 5 points at the Philadelphia Eagles, a Philadelphia Eagle team that are now odds-on favorites to win the NFC. The Eagles have brought it on a weekly basis this year, which is it's a hard thing to do. Laying a 5, they played in week 1. Very interesting football game. We're going to break it down from a betting perspective. Steve Merrill joins us as he does every Monday. Tony Cincata will join us. We'll break it down from a DFS perspective for you Monday, Thursday contest players. Joe Sheehan's going to join us on the program today. Joe's a great baseball analyst and writer of the Joe Sheehan newsletter. Very popular among hardcore baseball fans, Sports Illustrated contributor. Joe Sheehan joins us to talk World Series. We've got a full slate of NBA basketball on the board tonight, a couple of NHL games on tap. It's a great time of the year to be a sports fan. That is, unless you're losing tons of money watching these sporting events. And that's where I'm at right now. The last 48 hours haven't been a very fun one. And I should be happy. My LA Dodgers are going to the World Series. Buffalo Bills have 4 wins. Right now, and let's be real, man, coming into the year and you consider everything that happened in camp, a lot of us thought the Buffalo Bills would be lucky to get to 6, maybe 7 wins. Right now, they're at 4. They get the Raiders going to New York. Then they go to the Jets. You know, Buffalo Bills could be 6-2, maybe 5-3 after 8 weeks of play in Sean McDermott's first year of play. I was going to say it was an interesting weekend in the National Football League, but no, it wasn't. It just wasn't. You know, the NFL it's a crap-ass product, man. It just is. And I see Jerry Jones once again bitching about the anthem stuff. Nobody's even talking about the anthem stuff, man. The only people talking about the anthem stuff is like Sean Hannity and Donald Trump, okay? Nobody cares. I get it. Some people don't like it. It is what it is. But it's not at the forefront of the water cooler talk right now, so to speak. And I think it's time that we can drop that water cooler talk stuff. I don't see is there a water cooler here? How isn't there a water cooler here? Isn't that like illegal? Like seriously, there's no water cooler here, is there? Yeah, there is. Like where's the water cooler? I don't know about a water cooler. It's not even a bathroom, actually. They locked the bathroom door. Like, no water, no. Hey kids, you want to get into the media? All right, bring your own water and you better be able to hold it in, kid. Water cooler, there's no water coolers anymore. People drink bottled water. You know, I've spent less than like $10 in my life on bottled water. And I'm pretty old, too. Like, I refuse. I'm old school. I don't buy water. You know, like, you know, what is it? They say Evian, right? Evian's great water. You know what Evian is backwards? Naive. Because that's what you are if you think that water is actually coming from the pure springs. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's coming from some dude's basement, all right? But nevertheless, as I stated, yeah, we're not happy. We're not happy. And I pretty much blame the National Football League, which leads us into another edition of Who Ruined Your Sunday? Well, I got to be honest with you. I was really hoping I was going to be standing here doing this week's edition of Who Ruined Your Sunday in a much better mood. I was really hoping I'd be coming off a big monster weekend like I did 2 weeks ago, in which I was standing here and I was actually reaching for fantasy football players that let me down. You know who let me down yesterday? Everybody! That's who let me down. Besides my Buffalo Bills. But the Buffalo Bills didn't win me any money yesterday. They didn't cost me any money yesterday. We ended up pushing the point spread. So, you know, that's about the best thing that happened yesterday. Now, the first things first. We stand here on a weekly basis talking about how bad the NFL is. It truthfully is. 2017, this is the worst year of NFL football that I've seen in my freaking life. I remember growing up and I was watching football in the late 70s and the early 80s. There were a lot of bad teams and bad quarterbacks and stuff. I mean, for the love of God, to put it in context, guys, okay? Last year, there were 3 shutouts in the entire year. There were 3 shutouts yesterday. There were 6 teams that didn't score touchdowns yesterday. 6 teams didn't score a touchdown, including the Arizona Cardinals. Now, let's start off with the Arizona Cardinals. First off, if I could swear, I would tell them that they can go F themselves. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with you guys. You're unprepared to play every time you leave the desert. You're okay at home, and you can battle against piece-of-crap teams and hopefully win in overtime. But I'm sick and tired about hearing about what a great coach Bruce Arians is. Because if Bruce Arians was such a great coach, his team wouldn't suck as hard as they do consistently. All right? You're an embarrassment to the state of Arizona. And that's saying something, considering the good people of Arizona reelected Cruella DeVille, Jan Brewer, a couple of times. The people of Arizona think Sheriff Joe Arpaio is a good guy. All right? Like, at this point, I wish Sheriff Joe Arpaio was still in power so he could come and arrest the Arizona Cardinals. You guys should be in pink polka dot jumpsuits cleaning up garbage on the street. Carson Palmer breaks his arm. Oh, that's a shame. You broke your arm. He's out 8 weeks. You know what, dude? If I was you, I wouldn't worry about the rehab right now, okay? You know, this is like some loser at work that gets sick and it's actually a good thing he's gone. This is one of these deals. But it's a good thing because, you know, Arizona, they don't need Carson Palmer because they got a great stable of backup quarterbacks. Like Drew Stanton and Blaine Gabbert. And that's the thing. Everybody's going to give Bruce Arians a free pass. Oh, wow, look at the quarterbacks that he has. He's in charge, man. He's in charge. I don't give anybody a free pass. Bruce Arians, you've ruined my Sunday for the last damn time. Arizona, I swear, I'm never betting on Arizona road game ever again. But it's to the point where I don't want to bet on any of these clowns in the NFL ever again. The Arizona Cardinals ruined my Sunday. And you know what? You know, they probably ruined a bunch of Brit Sundays as well. These guys paying big money, you're sending over this crap. All right, which leads us here to the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know anymore to start with this. It's not even funny anymore. Like it's not even funny. But they've somehow managed to hit new lows. As Andy Dalton on fourth down threw the ball out of bounds. All right, that's like if you know you want, that's what we call a tap out on fourth down. Never mind the fact, I don't know, maybe there's going to be a pass interference penalty. Who cares at this point? It's your last gasp effort. You might as well do something besides exasperatingly throw it out of bounds. After one of his various interceptions yesterday, I caught Andy's lips. He sat down, he goes, I don't know what happened. I'll tell you what happened. You suck. That's what happened. All right. It's safer to fly on Malaysian Airlines than it is to bet on a Cincinnati Bengal game. And you know what? Marvin Lewis doesn't like the TD celebration rule, but he doesn't mind a punk-ass thug like Vontaze Burfict kicking people in the head. The only people who should get kicked in the head are the Cincinnati Bengal players. I'm starting to think that Mike Brown's dead. The owner of the Browns, he must be gone. Because how the hell is Andy Dalton and Marvin Lewis not fired yet? Like, at what point do we realize the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again? Now, listen, I've been down this road with the Bengals before. We took them on a teaser. Figured, oh, there's no way they can't lose by 11, right? No, they lose by 12. Or, you know, they'll lose by 13. Whatever the damn number is, you can be sure that Andy Dalton won't get that number, all right? Andy Dalton should be the biggest patriot in America. Nobody should love America like Andy Dalton should. The fact that this guy has like $70 or $80 million in his bank is a testament to what a great country America can be, and that a total, dumb, slow-witted, Richie Cunningham look-alike loser like Andy Dalton could be a multimillionaire. Only in America. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. I'm actually surprised nobody's freaking assaulted you yet, Dalton, in this room. I can't take it. Like, I'm amazed that fans have it lined up outside your house and just thrown eggs at it. Well, as clueless as Andy Dalton is, he's not as annoying as Cam Newton now, is he? Yeah, or is it, was that Cam Newton yesterday? Or is that Andrew Outcast, Andre Brand fan, 3,000 Urkel crap? Who the hell are you anyways? You spend more time worrying about your goofy ass wardrobe than you do making plays. You know, I've defended you, Cam Newton. I've gone to the end of the end for you. And I can't do it anymore. I give up. You're crap, all right? You're crap. You're nothing but a product of a modern millennial society. You're overhyped with no freaking substance. You're good once a month. You're good once a month. Superman. Yeah, crap, man. Superman. Superman. I guess it's fitting they call you Superman, actually, because you're as crap as that Superman versus Batman movie is. And now we save the best for last. Steve Sarkisian and the Atlanta Falcons. You know, I don't want to be this guy, coach, but you know what? At this point in time, you're better off just drinking, all right? You're better off just getting drunk. You have no business being in the NFL. You know, the only time that Steve Sarkisian should be associated with the NFL is if he's watching a damn NFL game in a bar. And I could take a cocktail waitress in a damn strip club and ask her to draw up a play from the 1 yard line, and she would come up with something better than Steve Sarkisian. You're clueless as well, Matt Ryan. What the hell are you throwing to? You know, Super Bowl hangover. Say, it's not a Super Bowl hangover, it's a Super Bowl coma, all right? Super Bowl coma. And, you know, I can only really blame myself on this. I bet on the same losers every week. Arizona, Atlanta, Cam Newton and Carolina. You lost, Carolina, to a rookie quarterback who completed four passes. Four passes. And we lost the game. Four. How do you lose? How do you lose a football game? Where do you hold the other team to four completions? I'll tell you how you do it. Because you're a stupid idiot. Like Mike Shula. I don't know how you guys are offensive coordinators in this league. All right? You couldn't coordinate your dick in front of your toilet. Like, I can't take it anymore. You're terrible. I'm tapping out. I'd rather bet on Canadian Football League action. You guys freaking blow. It's an all-time low. You've all ruined my Sunday for the last time.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at RotoExperts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We are live. All right, barely after the beating, man, over the weekend. Like, oh, man. Like, seriously. Like, the Tennessee Titans and the Cleveland Browns didn't score a touchdown yesterday. 3.5 hours. Imagine you go to the tailgate, you get there at 9 a.m., You don't get home until 8 a.m. You didn't see a damn touchdown. You know, you're probably out about $400 or $500 for your day. Didn't see a damn touchdown. You had, oh, it's the anthem. Oh, it's the anthem's fault. Yeah, it's the anthem's fault. Your product sucks, man. It's terrible. Let's bring in Steve Merrill. All right, we got Joe Sheehan, Steve Merrill, and Tony Cincotta. Well, what's up, Steve? How you doing?
Gabe, I kind of think anybody going to a Cleveland Browns game nowadays kind of knows what they're getting into.
Yeah, that's a good point, right? Like, at this point...
It's not like that game was in Nashville.
Less people are going. No, actually. Less people are going. You know what I saw, too? I read something interesting last night in the late night hours, is that not only are ratings down in the NFL, but they're down in every local market as well. Like, less people are watching their local teams more than ever. And why would they? Like, if you're an Arizona Cardinal fan yesterday, and you've got your life, you work 5 days a week, you don't have a lot of time to take care of things on the weekend, maybe you're married, you got kids or whatever. Like, what's the point of staying and watching that game? Like, what's the point? What's the point of watching them every time they go on the road? Like, what's the point?
That's a really interesting statistic, because I'm always a little leery of these overall statistics when they say, you know, ratings were down this week, or they were down for the Sunday night game. You're thinking, well, that can mean a ton of things. It can mean the matchups weren't as good. It can mean the weather was better on the East Coast and it wasn't raining. So there's a lot of things. But when they're down in every local market, I think that's pretty telling. But there again, hey, look, I'm not a fan of the NFL right now. You know that. I think it's as bad as it's ever been as well. I watch very little of it now, because you really don't gain anything by watching these games. They're like the NBA now. They're decided in the fourth quarter. Yesterday, a perfect example, my two early plays were the Browns plus six and the Jets plus three. The Cleveland game was dicey. They were down by three most of the game. Jets are winning 28-14 outright, covering by 17 in the fourth quarter, and I get a push. You don't need to watch this stuff. I mean, it's going to take years off your life, first of all, as you know. And then, you know, the other thing, too, is people have mobile apps. They have all the streaming stats online. I think that's another reason people aren't watching as much. They can go out and do stuff and stay in tune still.
Yeah, you're right. And it's not as though they know they're missing something crazy, right?
Right. Well, they can see the highlights later, too. You know, that's the thing.
You know, I'm pretty hardcore, right? So I watch all the games, every play pretty much. But I got to be honest with you. Yesterday, and a lot of times, sometimes I'll have to go out. I'm on all the time, so I have a lot of time. Sometimes I got to go out. You know, I got to get some bets in. I got to do whatever. And normally I'm in a panic about it. Like, quick. I'm mad. I'm like, I got to get back home. I'm missing games. Yesterday, Steve, I went out. I was walking. It was a nice sunny day. And I was in no rush to get back. I thought, what am I missing right now?
Right.
What am I missing? Am I missing, what, a bunch of missed field goal attempts? Am I missing a bunch of doofuses calling bad play calls? What am I really missing? And then I had high expectations for the Falcons game last night. And, you know, that was freaking terrible. Like, they can't even – they're on the one-yard line and they're running reverses and stuff. Like, it's bush league. It's just bush league.
Yeah, and then you combine it with the fact that, you know, most people don't like the players right now. I think the majority of the people don't like what's going on with these protests when guys are making millions and they're very fortunate to be in this country and they have privileged lives. You know, I don't think that sits well with more than 50%, probably 70% of the fans.
I disagree. I disagree with that one, though. The lucky to be stuff. They're not lucky to be in the NFL. They're in the NFL because they're better than everyone else. It's pretty simple.
No, that's not my point. They're lucky to be Americans. They wouldn't be – if you live – look at – what was it, rugby in the Summer Olympics last year? Half those guys from what was the country? Not Guam. I can't think of it now. Fiji. Those guys that won the gold medal in Fiji, half those guys didn't have, like, shoes or electricity growing up, you know? And that's big time. You're in this country, you have a pretty good chance of making it still.
Neither do people in Puerto Rico right now or Louisiana generally.
And that's why it's tougher for those guys to make Major League Baseball in general, just even from Puerto Rico, you know? So, you know, but that's a whole side thing. I mean, what I was going to get to is NASCAR, which we're going to talk about, has been fantastic this year. The race yesterday was great again. The Talladega race last week was incredibly great to watch. And then on top of that, my point is people like the drivers. Like, I like Martin Truex Jr. You know, he's a likable guy. He's a modest guy. And then you compare that to these NFL guys, I think that's another thing. I just don't enjoy watching it anymore.
I can't get into other people's minds, right? And everyone has their different reason for not watching as much. I've always said, though, the NASCAR stuff, it's disappointing, Steve, that it goes head-to-head with the NFL.
Oh, it's awful, yeah.
You know, because it is so good, right? It is so good. It is so entertaining. And it's been a great NASCAR year this year. It has been. But it sucks that they go head-to-head with the NFL. I don't know what they can do. I mean, if you're NASCAR, you could argue that you make a choice. You rather go head-to-head with the NFL than college, right? You know, NASCAR fans, I assume, you know, look at Alabama, Tennessee, et cetera. There's a lot of NASCAR hubs that don't have NFL teams. So I sort of get why they would do it on the Sunday as opposed to the Saturday.
Yeah, and I don't feel like necessarily NASCAR – well, I mean, obviously they probably watch the NFL, but NASCAR fans are kind of a unique breed. And you wonder how much they do lose by having football on compared to what they would have anyway. Obviously, in the summer months, you have a different problem. People are outdoors more than ever, you know, and they're not going to watch probably then either. Well, I do a show in Alabama every Friday, and we do talk NASCAR there. And an interesting point we talked about a few weeks ago was, you know, move it to, like, Wednesday nights. And obviously the problem there is fans going to the race, but yeah. You'd have probably a better TV audience. And I thought that was an interesting idea.
That is interesting. Yeah, even maybe Thursday night, you're right. And, yeah, fans, you know, but fans still go to football games in this spot. It would change the dynamic of spending the weekend in the camping and the outdoors. I get right. It, but, hey, listen, Major League Baseball is on the verge of really shaking things up in, like, 2-3 years. When their CBA is up, they're going to be expanding. Montreal and another city coming in. They're talking about busting up the divisions, going 1-16, shortening the season. We're in an era right now, and same with the NFL, actually. We'll get back to the NFL, and we'll get to the Redskins game in a second. But the NFL, Steve, to me, is it's sort of one of these businesses or, like, you know, political parties or politicians that whatever they've said has always worked. You know what I mean? For the last 30, 40 years. It just has. We put the games on. People go crazy. They love us. They give us their money, and they move on. It's not working anymore. It's like just the old sales pitch, and you'll watch these crappy games on Thursday because we tell you to. You watch this bad product because we'll tell you to. You watch a bad football team on prime time because it's the NFL, and you just will watch it. That arrogance, it's very similar to Hillary Clinton. You know, like Hillary Clinton was in denial. She thought, well, people won't vote for the other guy, and they'll just vote for me because they have to, and I'm Hillary Clinton. And we saw she was out of touch with the common man. And I think you just talked about it. You feel like the NFL has alienated you. I know a lot of people in the South feel. There's a lot of people that, you know, do feel those ways. You know, my disinterest in the NFL has nothing to do with any of the political stuff. It has to do with the product being bad. So, you know, there's a lot of different, there's a lot of negatives around this league right now moving forward.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the product's bad. And my point was that when you don't really like the guys as well as you used to like them, it's easier to stop watching.
That's why I don't like golf, Steve. Like, I don't mind golf, but that's why when I bet on golf on a major tournament or whatever, but I have a hard time feeling any sort of empathy with them. I'm not like, oh, isn't that great? Ricky Fowler won a big tournament. So what? You know what? A 22-year-old rich kid that's doing supermodels every night? That I'm going to feel so happy for some kid that grew up in a country club. You know, right. Like, I don't feel happiness for them. So I understand your point. I'm not interested. Like, I don't care about them. I know what you mean.
And kind of like Formula One for me as well. Those guys aren't necessarily ritzy until they get to that level, but it's a ritzy sport, you know, and there's not a lot of, it's not a good product either. There's not a lot of competition because there's two guys that can win every race and that's it. But one thing I'll say real quickly, all the points I agree with, and it might all be for not Gabe, because in 2 or 3 years from now, when the floodgates open and 20 different states have legalized sports betting, it's going to be a boom again for the NFL.
Yeah, you're right. It'll be a boom again. And, you know, and in the future, Steve, they won't even be on the network television anymore. They won't.
But that's the thing, and that's what's hurting them. Yeah, there's too much, you know, information out there, internet and everything else. I agree.
It'll just be specific internet, and they can make more money. Because it's like the Olympics. It's getting to the point now where the networks can't justify spending all the money, you know? Like, ESPN
right, exactly.
has to fire people all the time. And it's not because of, you know, the same thing, the politics and this. They spent too much money on rights. ESPN used to make money by having college sports that it didn't pay a lot for, you know, bowling and weird-ass things, SportsCenter. And now SportsCenters don't work. It's a changing, evolving media. And the NFL, like I said, the NFL seems to be, like, baseball's always been known as sort of the dinosaur, Steve, you know what I mean? Oh,
right.
Baseball doesn't like to change. Baseball is way willing to change. Football seems to be stuck in this. You'll like it because we tell you to like it. So,
well, they owned a day of the week. They owned Sunday for decades.
Yeah,
you know,
I know
changing.
They have. You're right. Bigger than church. Redskins and Eagles. Redskins and Eagles tonight. Normally the NFL sucks, and then they'll have one game that sort of saves the week for them. And you're like, oh, that was great stuff. Is this this game tonight? Maybe it is. Cam brought up a good point, Cam Stewart, on the radio today with me, when he said he thinks the league's going to sort of push this game to be higher scoring, and they don't want another snooze fest tonight. They're aware of everything that everyone's saying.
Yeah, I know, but we always talk about that with the NBA playoffs and even baseball. You know, they wanted the Yankees and the Dodgers. They got the Dodgers, obviously. But I'm not sure how much they can do that. I mean, do you think the officials really are taking walking orders or talking orders tonight?
Yes.
It's possible.
Yes.
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah.
Well, and I'm not saying, they won't. Let's screw this team. But I think they're like, listen, call pass interference. Emphasize the rules, so to speak. You know,
right,
it's like 55,
say,
right?
For like defensive hand checks or something.
Yeah, like, Steve,
like in basketball.
It's illegal to go 56, isn't it? But you don't get a ticket for it. But you could.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, just emphasize the rules a little bit more. If you listen to Tim Donahue talk, and Donahue said he's been in these meetings, obviously. And that's what they do. They don't say, listen, we don't want this team to win. But they'll basically single out a player on the team. And they'll say, all right, this guy is creating a lot of violations. So, he's getting away with too much. Keep your eye on him. They sort of just set the agenda. So tonight, interesting game. Everybody's in love with the Eagles this year, and I get it. But the Redskins aren't that, to me, they're very similar teams. I'm not sure the Eagles are that much better than the Redskins are. And the Redskins have a chance to prove it tonight. Eagles 5-1 straight up, 4-2 against the spread. They've won a lot of close games this year. The Skins have gone 3-1 straight up since losing in week one, Steve. Josh Norman is out. Breland's going to be a game-time decision. The thing that sticks out to me here, big numbers here. Carson Wentz has been great at home. 8-2 straight up, 7-3 against the spread as a starting quarterback at home, Carson Wentz in his young career. But conversely, Gruden and the Redskins and Cousins are 8-2 against the spread the last 10 road games.
Yeah, we always talk about how week one of the regular season is like really week five. 5B of the preseason, or 4B, however you want to look at it. And I think that could have been the case for that first game. The Redskins had four turnovers. It's really the only bad game they've played this season. And it's the only game really until last week against the Niners, which they won but failed to cover, that they shouldn't have covered. Because if you look at that Kansas City Monday nighter, it was a bizarre finish. They would have lost by two otherwise, or three. And they got the bye after that. So this is only their second game after the bye week. The Eagles, meanwhile, are playing their seventh straight game. They've yet to have the bye. And they're the odds-on favorite right now at 4-1, right ahead of Seattle to be the NFC champ. I'm not buying it. I'm not sure Seattle's any better, and Atlanta's at 6-1. They're sure not any better.
Wide open, the NFC. I don't know.
Wide open. Yeah, exactly right. Wide open.
I'm going to give credit to Camera 2 Drew here, which pains me to do it. This kid was talking about the Saints winning the NFC this year. Did you actually bet it too, Drew? What number did you get? Saints Super Bowl? 50-1. Yeah, our cameraman bet the Saints to win the Super Bowl 50-1.
Yeah, right now they're they're about fifth or sixth at 11-1 to the conference. The Redskins are 10th right now in the conference at only 15-1. I'm telling you right now, the Redskins
for the
are
Redskins.
Alive. They win tonight. They could really control their own destiny.
That's what I'm saying. They win tonight. They're one game out of first. It's amazing the Redskins aren't getting any love at all, and they're getting 5 points tonight. And listen, I give credit to the Eagles. They played well in every game they played this year. The one loss that they had, They were in a game against Kansas City. Common theme with Kansas City not being as good as the record would indicate, most likely. So I keep waiting for that letdown with Philadelphia. It hasn't happened, but we've got a revenge game. And this game, that first game, man, the Eagles were up 13-0. There was a missed extra point. They were up right away. The Redskins battled back. There was a horrific call at the end where the Redskins did get screwed. And if you look at the Eagles, with the exception of that game when they beat up on Arizona, and Arizona gets killed by everyone when they go on the road. With the exception of that game, Giants, they needed the 61-yard kick to beat the Giants. They beat the Chargers by two, and the Chargers had the ball late, couldn't punch it in. You go down the list of the Eagle wins, there's been a lot of close games. Carolina last week had the ball late and could have won the game, but Cam Newton threw the interception. I give him credit for winning the games, but they're not blowing teams out.
Yeah, and look at this. I mean, they beat the Redskins in week one, as we've talked about. But last year and the year before, the Redskins were a perfect 4-0 straight up and against the spread against the Eagles. So it's not like they haven't matched up well recently.
No, I know. Exactly. They've won 4 out of the last 5 outright. Steve, yesterday I'm thinking about that. I'm doing pretty good in the NBA. I hit winner last night, Pelicans and the over against the Lakers. And you and I have been talking about it. Martin Truex, just give this guy the trophy right now, man. Wins at Kansas. This guy's, you know, going to be incredibly hard to beat him, but anything can happen, obviously, in a race. But what was surprising about this, Larson out, McMurray out, Kenseth out, Stenhouse out. I'm a little bit surprised that Kyle Larson gets eliminated right now. But we're not going to talk before the World Series, Steve. So quick on Truex and then your World Series pick.
Yeah, well, Larson's car blew up yesterday, and he finished like 39th, and he still almost made it. It's a huge break for everybody else because he was probably the third best guy after Kyle Busch and Truex this year. Jimmy Johnson sneaks in instead, and he's not been good at all this year.
Yeah, but watch it end up winning, dude, because that's what Jimmy does.
Well, Truex is about 50-some points ahead of the fourth-place cutoff right now, so he could miss an entire race and still probably advance to Miami.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. All right, World Series, Dodgers, minus 160 favorites in the series and minus 170 in game one. I like the L.A. Dodgers to win the World Series.
Well, the thing for me is, you know, we talk about offensive momentum all year long in baseball, and the Astros are actually pretty fortunate to advance because they went ice cold offensively in the ALCS. They had eight hits or less in six straight games until their Game 7 victory. Lucky for them, the Yankees also had been ice cold. They'd had eight hits or less in eight of their previous nine going into Game 7. They got to pick up the offense or else L.A. will win this.
Steve Merrill can find his picks over at coversexperts.com, also prosportsinfo.com. It's always a pleasure, Steve. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, my notes got a little bit shuffled during that intro. I don't know what happened. The wind must have blown them. I think the wind blew them off the table. All right, Joe Sheehan's going to join us next. Game Time Decision continues.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, we've talked a lot about football today on the program and how it frustrates us. Let's talk about the World Series that's set to begin tomorrow. L.A. Dodgers, of course, haven't won a World Series. They haven't been in a World Series, actually, in 29 years. I can't believe it's been that long, man. It's actually kind of sad when you put that in perspective. You guys know I am a diehard Dodger fan, and I have been since 1976. 75, 76, actually. I know it's strange, but Dusty Baker was one of my favorite players growing up. And, you know, met Steve Yeager when I was a kid. My mom was very attractive, so Steve Yeager was very friendly to me and my mother. I asked Yeager for an autograph. He said, yeah, hold on a second, kid. He took the ball. He gave me a ball, and he goes, hold on. He took the ball back, and he went into the clubhouse, into the dugout, and he came back. And he got every guy on the team to sign the ball. You think that would happen nowadays? I don't think so. And he told me, he goes, you're going to be a Dodger fan for life now, aren't you? And here we are now, 41 years later, talking about the Dodgers playing in a World Series tomorrow. Joe Sheehan, one of the best newsletters in the business, SI contributor, steps up. And then, Joe, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
Great story, Gabe. How you doing, man?
It's funny how baseball, the ties and the reasons why we get involved with teams. And yeah, can you believe that, though? Yeager goes into clubhouse. And you know what, Joe? That was 1977. So think about that. You know, I'm talking about the infield, the Hall of Famers, you know, from the Penguin to Garvey to Lopes, Russell. So it was that Dodgers team. And then I wrote them a letter. Being a kid, you know, I wrote a letter thanks to Mr. Yeager and to the Dodgers for giving me the baseball. You know what they did? They sent me a bunch of, like, a free membership to their fan club. And they were like, you're part of the Dodger family now for life, you know, and Dodger blue. And, you know, that's the type of stuff. The Dodgers have always been a class and a first-class organization, Joe. They just happened. Remember in the 70s, they used to say it's the Dodger way of playing baseball.
Yeah, and I think they kind of got away from that after the sale to the court and going through the Fox years. It feels like a lot of the citizens for a lot of organizations now. They don't have those identities necessarily that we grew up with, but certainly the on-field success has finally turned around for them.
That's a great point that you raised. Once the family was out of it in the O'Malley's, you're right. Great, great, great point there. You know, you bring in McCourt. What's the guy who's it's a parking lot guy, right? Nothing but class there, Joe.
Yep.
Nothing but class there. All right, so let's talk about, I was hoping it was going to be the Yankees. and the Dodgers growing up on that. You know, the Bronx is on fire, 77, 78, 81. I was really, really hoping that that's what it was going to be. But nevertheless, we've got a great matchup stylistically here right now. So let me blast through the dynamics. Pitching, Kershaw, Hill, Darvish, Wood, rotation set. Houston not set yet. We know it's Keuchel, Verlander, Morton, McCullers. Starting pitching advantage, Dodgers or Astros?
I think it's a push. You look at those first couple matchups, Keuchel's one of the few guys you think might be able to match up with Clayton Kershaw, who's the best pitcher alive. And then you look at Verlander Hill in that two spot, and yeah, I think that's an edge to the Astros. After that, the variance on these guys is so great. You look at Darvish. You look at Hill. You look at Wood. You look at Morton and McCullers, we just saw in the ALCS. And I think from day to day, you're not sure what you're going to get out of these guys. They go seven, then go four. So I think it's close. I think it's a really interesting series from that standpoint. I think, though, one of the keys here is that both of these offenses work pitchers. And I think that's not going to affect a Kershaw or a Verlander that much. But when you get to the middle starters, you're going to see a lot of what we saw in the early series, which is 3 and 4 inning starts and getting into those bullpens.
And it's rare, isn't it? So you look at the Astros, as explosive as they are on offense, leading in runs, leading second in home runs, yet the lowest strikeout rate in baseball. That just shows how difficult they are. I don't know, Joe, and I don't want to put you in a hot seat, but what's the Dodgers' strikeout rate? Are they among the best as well? I don't know. Off the top of my head, the exact number right now. But as you stated, yeah, these pitchers, you know, they might have to throw quite a few pitches to get through innings.
The Dodgers don't have the strikeout rate the Astros do, but what they have is this incredible walk rate. They have the best walk rate in baseball this year. And if you saw against Cubs, and this is part because the Cubs bullpen was just so wild this year, they just took. They work deep counts. Even if they weren't successful, you're talking about getting to those early innings, 21, 22, 23 pitches. It just wears down a pitcher. And especially you look at those first two games in L.A., it's going to be 100 degrees. I don't know what it'll be necessarily at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, but it's going to be hot. So, the Dodgers in that environment, it's going to be very, very hard on the pitchers.
That's interesting. I know weather's not a factor here. There's no chill in the air, man. We're going to be in California. We're going to be in Houston. All right, I miss arguing with Pat Mayo, and me and Pat used to get into some, you know, big time battles sometimes. But one thing, you know, it used to bother me, and we used to get in an argument. He says there's no such thing as clutch, and I think a lot of the fantasy guys sort of take the human element out of this thing. And let's get into the human element right now, and the clutchness of the Dodgers hitters. And I mean, Justin Turner, dear God, you know, in the playoffs, in his career, he's 14-20 with runners in scoring position. I saw, Joe, the only two guys that are better, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig.
There are clutch performances. It's always going to be years. You know, postseason, we're going to remember individual players, like you mentioned, Turner.
Yeah.
Guys are going to go off.
Madison Bumgarner, a guy that says, give me the ball. Yeah, you're right. There's a guy that's going to say, get out of my way.
From a forward-facing standpoint, you can't predict that stuff going forward. You can't say Justin Turner is going to continue to do this. He could turn around and go 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position. That's the stat head argument. And it's something that I've based my analysis on. You just can't predict those numbers in those situations. There's a very small effect over a long period of time where hitters who have better contact rates do slightly better.
Yeah.
But that's really the only effect, and it plays out over careers, not just weeks.
So yeah, it sounds like you've had this debate before, and you've heard this debate before.
You've been amongst the nerds for 25 years.
Yeah, exactly. And I respect the nerds, man. I do. I respect the analytics. I respect the nerds. But I just find that the nerds don't put enough of the human element into this at times. So speaking of which, one of the reasons why I like the Dodgers so much and the makeup of this club is their manager. Yeah, and the fact that Bip Roberts been there before. I love the fact that he was the guy that stole second base to lead the comeback against the Red Sox. You look at the clubhouse now as opposed to Donnie Baseball, and they're not winning with Don Mattingly. Does it mean that Don Mattingly doesn't know baseball, is not a good manager? No. But this team's not winning if Don Mattingly's the manager. And this is where the human element comes into play to me. Because I feel the most important thing of being a manager in baseball is keeping the clubhouse in a good form and keeping the team in a positive frame of mind.
Well, certainly Roberts has had his challenges doing that this year. This is a team that lost 11 in a row, 16 out of 17, after getting dubbed the best team ever on the cover of SI. Even go back to last year when he had to deal with all of these injuries, and he still navigated this team into the NLCS. So if we want to get into soft factors, I think Roberts is a positive for the Dodgers. I think he's demonstrated that he can keep this team on an even keel. But in terms of hard factors, I think the Dodgers have an even better edge in the dugout. If you look at the way Hinch has managed his way through these first two series, there's been a lot of panic involved.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of how he's run his bullpen. Whereas Dave Roberts, even last year, kind of knows what he wants to do. And even and when he deviated, when he, say, brought in Clayton Kershaw last year to get the last out, there was a plan to it. It didn't feel like panic so much as it felt like plan. So I think there's a pretty big edge, soft factors, hard factors, in the dugout for the Dodgers in this series.
And I think, you know, with bullpen, Dodgers is just incredible in the bullpen. As you stated, they're very, that's a good way of putting it, sort of panicked with Houston and some of the decisions they're making. All right, unfortunately, I've only got a minute left. I wish we had more time. So what's your breakdown here? Who do you think wins this series and in how many games?
Yeah, I think the Hinch pulling the levers is going to be, he's going to probably lose a game for the Astros at some point in this series. Now, the bullpens are actually not that far apart. It's just that Hinch is afraid of his at this point. He won't use Harrison, Devenski, and those guys. I look at that as a big factor. I look at the Dodgers' patience as a big factor. They're going to make Keuchel and Verlander work in that Los Angeles heat next week, probably get into the bullpen. I like the Dodgers. I'm still working on whether Dodgers in five, Dodgers in six. Generally speaking, if it's I'd like the home team clinching at home, so probably I'm going to say Dodgers at six, but I'm definitely picking the Dodgers.
Yeah, I know. It's weird when you make these calls. The 2-3-2 format, I'm not a fan of the 2-3-2 format.
In baseball, you can't have team playing. You, like the NBA takes 2 days off between every game.
Yeah, I know.
You can't do that
in baseball. I know. I'd love to talk. Actually, after the World Series, we'll talk, Joe, because I saw the story that Ringlesby did about the potential shakeup, 1 through 16.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and a lot of things on the table you saw, right? So shortened seasons, you know, realignment, all kinds of stuff. So let's talk about that. Always a pleasure, Joe. Thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Joe Sheehan with us. Yeah, baseball, I'm telling you guys, really shaking things up potentially. And it's real, too. It's not just rumors. All this stuff's on the table. Quick break. Tony Cicada joins us next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Before we bring Tony Cicada in, as I just want to let you guys know about a cool new fantasy website, Daily Fantasy, Dolbert.games. Dolbert.games, it's... there's no tournaments or anything like that. So over at Dolbert.games, they post a bunch of players for each sport, and it'll be over under, you know, fantasy points for the night. And you just pick three players, three matchups, and you get 6-1 back. You don't have to worry about how good somebody else is going to do. You don't have to worry about people entering 30,000 times and all that other stuff that could be frustrating with Daily Fantasy and some of the other sites. This is real cool. You control your own destiny. You think this guy's going to have a good game? You bet over under. You think this next guy, you know, over under. I like this. It's just up to you, and you can't get screwed over by the public here. So it's a 6-1 payback. You pick three matchups, and this is the coolest part. You can mix and match the sports guys. So if you want to take, like tonight, you got Monday Night Football. You could take, Kirk Cousins over under fantasy, Carson Wentz over under fantasy, and throw in a little basketball. How's DeMar DeRozan going to do tonight? So, yeah, it's a great format. Check it out, Dolbert.games. Great, great website. We encourage you guys to check that out. And use promo code PUNT, and you're going to get into some free contests as well. That's Dolbert.games. So let's talk some fantasy right now and help people win money playing fantasy, no matter what website you're playing at. The Tony Cicada joins us, who... I can just tell right away, Tony's not in the same mood he normally is. Normally, he'd be smiling already. He's dressed in darker clothing. And, you know, even in the break, normally me and Tony are cracking, you know, X-rated jokes and getting big chuckles. Both of us just sat here depressed. You know, going, oh, God, what a crap day yesterday. What a crap day yesterday, Tony. What can you say?
It was. Now, here's the whole thing. Like, I went over this last night. I overanalyzed the matchup. And the one matchup I'm going to say is the Atlanta Falcons, Matt Ryan versus the New England Patriots, right? So you went every single quarterback's throwing for 300 yards. Josh McCown, Deshaun Watson. But here's the whole thing. You got to look at the other side of the matchup. The Atlanta Falcons have been abysmal all season long. They couldn't even put up points against the Miami Dolphins. They hadn't scored in 91 minutes going into that game. The Falcons are done. They're one of those teams that make it to the Super Bowl that won't make the playoffs the following year.
I know, and I thought they were going to be able to avoid that due to the talent that they have, but it's inevitable. There's no turning. They've lost three games in a row. Steve Sarkisian's an idiot, all right? You know, I've said this before, and I don't want to make light of alcoholism. Yeah, you know, me myself, I'll be a lifelong alcoholic, so I'm not making light of it. But it's true in the sense that I hate to say it, but it's true. All right, people like artists and stuff and bands, Tony, that are all like big partiers and stuff, and they get older, and then you know, I don't do that anymore. They suck. Okay, you know, good example. You're from Boston, Aerosmith. Yes. Aerosmith haven't written a good song since they stopped doing cocaine and getting drunk. It's nothing but crap ballads now. Are they rich? Are they healthy? Yes. Yes. I'm not telling them not to. You know, Metallica. I'll go down the list, all right? Comedians, artists. It's a well-known fact, okay? Creativity is aided and abetted by being a dependent alcoholic or drug addict. It just is. They go hand in hand. And what I'm saying with this is, Sarkisian's sober right now. Well, you know what? You might be better off having a drink, coach, because you don't know what the hell you're doing, all right? I'd rather this guy drunk than sober. I really would.
It's been tough. It's been really tough. Couldn't cut it in Alabama. When you can't cut it in Alabama with all those horses, how do we expect them to go in the NFL on a level playing field?
Unbelievable. You know, I'm not even kidding about that, Tony. I saw a study the U.S. Army did years ago. They did war games, sleep-deprived troops against drunk troops. The drunk troops won, just for the record. So you're better off being drunk than tired, guys. Get your rest. Something I don't do. All right. Time's flying by, Tony. Real fast tonight. We got a Monday-Thursday contest. So what's the deal? The only thing you play on a Thursday is the defense, I guess? Play the Dolphins defense?
That game is it. The only thing I could say is I wouldn't go Joe Flacco under any circumstance drunk, on mescaline, on anything, right? But Matt Moore at 4,500. I could see people. I could see people doing that. I won't. To me, it's Carson Wentz tonight or Kirk Cousins.
So who do you go with tonight, Wentz or Cousins? Let's go rapid fire.
Carson Wentz.
Okay, Carson Wentz. Running backs Monday, Thursday. I think, what do we do? We got to take Chris Thompson. It's a must play, right?
Chris Thompson is absolutely a must play. And then I'll go Wendell Smallwood, returning to action, coming back, and he'll get some balls out of the backfield. I think he really stunts LeGarrette Blount's productivity tonight.
Tight end, obviously, Zach Ertz, must play.
Right there.
Yeah, so do we double up, though? Would you put Reed in here? Do you trust Reed enough to put two tight ends in this lineup as a flex?
I don't trust him enough. I'm actually going to go and take a look at Jamison Crowder, the guy that's underachieved that they haven't gotten the ball to. They talk about he's the one consistent in the slot. I think Josh Doctson will take playing time away from Terrell Pryor, so Pryor's going to be the guy I leave out of it.
All right, we got 15 seconds. Eagles wide receivers tonight. You take Jeffrey Aguilar. What are you going to do with that?
Leave Jeffrey on the board. Go Nelson Aguilar in the slot. They don't cover the slot well. Nelson Aguilar is the play tonight.
And the tight ends. The Redskins get carved up. So, guys, Zach Ertz. And I'm betting the over 5.5 in the prop. Zach Ertz receptions as well, Tony. That's a good bet tonight. All right, Tony, it's always a pleasure. I wish we had more time. Maybe we'll do something later in the week. Give me a call if you want me on the radio. It's always a pleasure. Check out Tony live at 6 o'clock on TV, 11 o'clock tonight on the radio. Thanks, Tony.
Good night.
All right, we'll do a quick break. We're going to come back with our plays of the day. Winners!
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at RotoExperts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
All right, unlike usual, I don't have a lot of time for my picks today. So let's start off with the Washington Redskins. Give me the Redskins plus five. That's for big man on campus, my main man in Philadelphia. Go Skins! over under 49. This game's going to be a higher scoring game, but I thought last night would be a track meet. I think it is tonight, and I think the league is actually going to call a lot of penalties to make sure it is high scoring tonight. Let's tease this game. Redskins tease plus 12, over 42. Redskins money line, shake it up, baby. Zach Ertz, over 5.5 receptions. The guy's a target machine. Long field goal, over 45.5. NBA basketball, no Kawhi Leonard. Give me the Raptors plus 2.5. And how do we not go over 207 in the Suns and Kings? May the winners be yours.